The first question. You said the other day, just love and accept yourself. Gradually, self-acceptance has been growing in my life. I have had several moments of experiencing unconditional love from the universe. In these 3 weeks since becoming a sannyasin, the most difficult and mind-blowing experience for me has been the reality of your unconditional acceptance of me and everything I am and do. I feel it like a soft caressing smoke from some distant fire enveloping me and penetrating the walls of my ego. Through so many ways, your unconditional acceptance comes to me for the first time in my life. I weep as I write what is happening. Prem Samma, life is happening. God is happening. This is what is life is all about. The moment you accept yourself, you become open. You become vulnerable. You become receptive. The moment you accept yourself, then there is no need for any future. Because there is no need to improve upon anything. Then all is good. Then all is good as it is. In that very experience, life starts taking a new color. A new music arises. If you accept yourself, that is the beginning of accepting all. If you reject yourself, you are basically rejecting universe. If you reject yourself, you are rejecting God. If you accept yourself, you have accepted God. Then there is nothing else to do but to enjoy, but to celebrate. There is no complaint left. There is no grudge. You feel grateful. Then life is good and death is good. Then joy is good and sadness is good. Then to be with your beloved is good and to be alone is good. Then whatsoever happens is good because it happens out of God. But you have been conditioned for centuries not to accept yourself. All the cultures of the world have been poisoning human mind because they all depend on one thing: improve upon yourself. They all create anxiety in you. Anxiety is the tense stage between that which you are and that which you should be. People are bound to remain anxious if there is a should in life, if there is an ideal which has to be fulfilled. How you can be at ease? How you can be at home? It is impossible to love anything, to live anything totally, because the mind is hankering for the future, and that future never comes. It cannot come. By the very nature of your desire, it is impossible. When it will come, you will start imagining other things. You will start desiring other things. You can always imagine a better state of affairs. and you can always remain in anxiety, tense, worried. That's how humanity has been living for centuries. Only rarely, once in a while, a man has escaped out of the trap. That man is called a Buddha, a Christ. The awakened man is one who has slipped out of the trap of the society, who has seen it, that this is just absurdity. You cannot improve upon yourself. And I am not saying that improvement does not happen. Remember, but you cannot improve upon yourself. When you stop improving upon yourself, life improves you. In that relaxation, in that acceptance, life starts caressing you. Life starts flowing through you. And when you don't have any grudge, no complaint, you bloom, you flower. So I would like to say to you, don't lose this thread that has fallen in your hands. This is the most valuable thing that you can learn here, that you can see with me. This is what I would like to impart to you all. Accept yourself as you are. And that is the most difficult thing in the world, because it goes against your training, education, your culture. From the very beginning, you have been told how you should be. Nobody has ever told you that you are good as you are. They all have put programs in your mind. You have been programmed by the parents, by the priests, politicians, teachers. You have been programmed for only one thing. Just go on improving upon yourself, wherever you are. Go on rushing for something else. Never rest. Work unto death. My teaching is simple. Don't postpone life. Don't wait for tomorrow. It never comes. You live it today. Jesus says to his disciples, look at the lilies in the field. They toil not. They weave not. They spin not. Yet, even Solomon was not so beautiful as these poor flowers of lilies. What is the beauty of the poor flower? It is in utter acceptance. It has no program in its being to improve. It is here now, dancing in the wind, taking a sunbath, talking to the clouds, falling asleep in the afternoon warmth, flirting with the butterflies, enjoying being, loving, being loved. And the whole existence starts pouring its energy into you when you are open. Then the trees are greener than they look to you. Then the sun is sunnier than it looks to you. Then everything becomes psychedelic, becomes colorful. Otherwise, everything is drab and dull and grey. Accept yourself. That is prayer. Accept yourself. That is gratitude. Relax into your being. This is the way God wanted you to be. In no other way He wanted you to be. Otherwise, He would have made you somebody else. He has made you you and nobody else. Trying to improve upon yourself is basically trying to improve upon God, which is just stupid. And you will get madder and madder in trying that. You will not arrive anywhere. You would have simply missed a great opportunity. I accept you as you are. That is just to impart you that do the same to others. Jesus is reported to have said to his disciples, I give you the 11th commandment, love. Love others as I have loved you. Note that emphasis. Love others as I have loved you. And this he calls the 11th commandment, the new commandment I give to you. Accept others as I accept you. Let this be the color of my sannyasins, acceptance. Let this be the characteristic of my sannyasins, acceptance, utter acceptance. And then you will be surprised. Life is always ready to shower its gifts to you. Life is not miser. God always gives abundantly, but we cannot receive it because we don't feel that we are worthy to receive it. That's why people cling to miseries. They suit with their programming. People go on punishing themselves in 1001 subtle ways. Why? Because that fits with the program. If you are not as you should be, you have to punish yourself. You have to create misery for yourself. That's why people feel good when they are miserable. Let me say it. People feel happy when they are miserable. They become very, very uneasy when they are happy. This is my observation of thousands and thousands of people. When they are miserable, everything is as it should be. They accept it. It fits with their conditioning, with their mind. They know how horrible they are. They know that they are sinners. You have been told that you are born in sin. What stupidity! What nonsense! Man is not born in sin. Man is born in innocence. There has never been any original sin. There has only been original innocence. Each child is born in innocence. We make him feel guilty. We start saying him, this should not be. You should be like this. And the child is natural and innocent. We punish him for being natural and innocent, and we reward him for being artificial and cunning. We reward him for being phony. All our rewards are for phony people. If somebody is innocent, we don't have any reward. We don't have any regard for him. We don't have any respect for him. The innocent is condemned. The innocent is thought to be almost synonymous with the criminal. The innocent is thought to be foolish. The cunning is thought to be intelligent. The phony is accepted. The phony fits with the phony society. Then your whole life will be nothing but an effort to create more and more punishments for you. And whatsoever you do is wrong. So you have to punish for every joy. And even when joy comes in spite of yourself, mind you, when joy comes in spite of yourself, when sometimes God simply bumps into you and you cannot avoid, immediately you start punishing yourself. Something has gone wrong. How a horrible person like you. Just the other night, Ashoka was asking me, "You talk, Bhagwan, about love. You talk of offering your love. But what I have got to give to anybody?" He asked, "What have I got to offer to my beloved?" This is the secret idea of everybody, that I have got nothing. What you have not got, but nobody has told you, that you have got all the beauties of all the flowers, because man is the greatest flower on this earth, the highest evolved being. No bird can sing the song that you can sing. The bird's songs are just noises. Still they are beautiful because they come out of innocence. You can sing far better songs of greater significance, of much more meaning. But Ashoka says, "What have I got?" The trees are green, beautiful. The stars are beautiful and the rivers are beautiful. But have you ever seen anything more beautiful than a human face? Have you ever come across anything more beautiful than human eyes? On the whole earth, there is nothing more delicate than the human eyes. No rose can compete. No lotus can compete. And what depth! But Ashoka asks me, "What have I got to offer in love?" He must have lived a self-condemning life. He must have been putting himself down, burdening himself with guilt. In fact, when somebody loves you, you are a little bit surprised. "What, me? And the person loves me?" The idea arises in your mind, "Because he does not know me. That's why." If he comes to know about me, if he comes to see through me, he will never love me. So lovers start hiding themselves from each other. They keep many things private. They don't open their secrets because they are afraid. The moment they open their heart, the love is bound to disappear. Because they cannot love themselves, how they can conceive anybody else loving them? Love starts with self-love. Don't be selfish, but be self-full. And there are two different things. Don't be a narcissus. Don't be obsessed with yourself. But a natural self-love is a must, a basic phenomenon. Only then, out of which you can love somebody else. Accept yourself, love yourself. You are God's creation. God's signature is on you. And you are special, unique. Nobody else has ever been like you. And nobody else will ever be like you. You are simply unique, incomparable. Accept this. Love this. Celebrate this. And in that very celebration, you will start seeing the uniqueness of the others, the incomparable beauty of the others. Love is possible only when there is a deep acceptance of oneself, the other, the world. Acceptance creates the milieu in which love grows, the soil in which love blooms. You ask me, what is happening? I weep as I write. That's beautiful. Because there are things which can only be said by tears. No word is more adequate. There are things which can be only sung in tears. They are too deep for words. Only tears can relate them, convey them. Good, weep in joy. Celebrate your tears. Life is happening to you. And life happens only when there is no desire for any future. When you are ready to die at this very moment, if death comes, your acceptance is so total that you will embrace death. You will not ask even for one day's time more. For what? You have been living your life so totally, you are so fulfilled that death can be accepted. Then there is no need to seek God. God will seek you. You just live in joy and see miracles start happening. In fact, the desire for God is the denial of Him. The real religious person has no desire as such for God. There is no need. He lives intensely. He lives totally. Out of that totality, God arrives. God is a byproduct, a consequence of a life lived totally. And you will be surprised to know the godly know nothing of God. Because God is not separate. The godly know nothing of God. They don't think about God. They simply live God. They are gods. And the wise know nothing of wisdom. It is only the fools who think about wisdom. It is only the ignorant who think about knowledge. It is only the ungodly who pray to God. The really godly simply